you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello, Doug Mellard.
Hey, hey, Doug Benson.
How's it going, man?
Great. How are you, buddy?
I'm pretty good. No Dougs again this week, except for us, of course.
We count.
But our guest has an interesting name for our current times.
Ooh.
Her name is Karen. It's not a great time to be named Karen. So we're going to talk to our friend Karen Anderson, who you might know from Dining with Doug and Karen, that you've been on a few times.
Yeah, I love it.
She's going to join us today, and we're going to see how she feels about this whole Karen mess.
Dun dun dun.
Let's go. There you have it. There's the theme song once again. And we are joined, as previously mentioned, by a good friend who just happens to be a Karen.
Sorry.
It's Karen Anderson, everybody. But do you apologize whenever your name comes up now?
Well, it's just, let's say I'm going to write to somebody. And I'll, like, for instance, a Craigslist thing we're doing, we built a little office in the back of the house. I try to get stuff off Craigslist. So I always write, thanks a lot. And then as soon as I write my name, I go, oh God, should I put my name? I don't want to be like, it's not even going to be a name anymore. It's completely gone. They're not, no baby ever will be named this again. But, so I put Blake, my husband, I go Blake and Kate.
Cause I'm
just thinking, I don't want anyone to be like, I don't want to sell you our couch or whatever, because not that I'd buy a couch off Craigslist. Sorry. But, a door, say.
Yeah, it's weird to just be immediately apologetic for a name.
Well, it's just gone haywire, it's gone crazy. And I get it because, when you're writing comedy for, 40 years, you look for the name that's funny, and it turned out to be it's Karen this time. Todd was a dad for a long time. There's been a couple of them out there.
Well, that's what we talk about on the show, is that the name Doug is kind of a comedy. Like, as soon as a character's named Doug, that the intent is probably comedic.
That's true. Doug is one of the names, maybe. Yeah. There's a lot of Dougs on sitcoms and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't hear Doug and you're like, here comes a long dramatic soliloquy.
None of that. Is that a Shakespeare name?
Fucking Doug screwing up the soliloquy with a soliloquy.
Did I say soliloquy?
Yeah. Soliloquy is one of those drugs with a lot of side effects.
I'm on it. That's why
I've
got said
high
that.
Blood pressure, so I take soliloquy.
Then all the side effects.
Yeah.
Doug Mellard, are you still in the...
I'm in the desert still.
Oh, nice. So you probably are on soliloquy.
I am, all the 24/7. It's been pretty great.
I think Doug, though, is one of those names that definitely is from people being named that in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know. And so it's just a name that you're used to saying, associated with a certain time, you know.
Right. So
if you're like a, you know, there's just not that many new Dougs, right? Did you guys
know? You know, I guess there are some, but yeah, it doesn't seem to be that popular of a name. It's not like Andrew or Taylor or something like that. You know, yeah. I've never my entire life ever heard Doug being at the top of, you know, every year they announce the number one baby name. And Doug has never, probably had never been the number one baby name.
Do you think we've cracked the top 50 ever?
Oh, probably top 50, because there is a commonness to it. It does happen a lot, but, you know, it tends to be on the birth certificate, it prices Douglas, and it's just one of those names where you get, you know, it depends on what the person becomes, whether or not you're a Douglas or a Doug.
But also, I happen to know a lot of Dougs, but that could be because of my age, you know. As my son pointed out today, that I'm old, he said, because I want him to listen to a Brandi Carlile or watch a Brandi Carlile video of her and her friends singing very loudly to Celine Dion. I thought it was really funny. He goes, "That's for your generation. You're old. It's not for me. I, you know, show me something else." It's funny. It's ironic. It's funny. He's like, "No, it's not. It's for you."
Wow.
Yeah. Cut deep.
There's nothing to take from our generation music wise. We had all garbage.
I love how, but his ignorance becomes somehow it's an insult. You know, you get insulted.
I get insulted
like,
by
because he doesn't know that it's, you know, what it even is. So you're the one that's wrong.
Right. And that's what I tried to explain to him. I go, first of all, it's ironic. First of all, it's like a quarantine funny thing because they're compounding together, I guess. And, you know, you run out of stuff to do. So you're going to lips. You're going to sing really loudly to Celine Dion with like 70 wine bottles around you. It was funny. What can I say?
Have you seen that TikTok video? It's probably from somewhere in Japan where they had a little model train and a bunch of bottles, and the train had little sticks on either side of it that when it rode along the track, it would hit the bottles, and they were lined up in a way that it played played the William Tell overture.
Oh, man, whoa. No.
Yeah, so these bottles are going and it's just this train going on the track, and it's just hit. They just time it just right so that it makes music.
I love it.
Makes that one song anyway. But yeah, that's. I mean, people just have time on their hands for some weird ass shit.
Yes, we're building that. We want to build a. You know, all of a sudden, everyone in the house is. You know, Blake's working from the house. I'm working from the house. The kids are doing school from the house, and. So I'm basically at the end of the bed on a card table doing my work, which is weird because you just get out of bed and then go to work at the end of the bed, you know? So we had been talking about like making like a small office in the back guest house. We started in July. I ended the show 2 days ago and we're still building the house.
Oh my
it's
God.
Not going to happen for me. I need either a job or as soon as it's just crazy. As soon as it's done, they're going to be like, offices are open.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I think in this for a while because now there's like all over the country, they're seeing spikes in cases and everyone's like, you know, shrugging and going, well, what are we supposed to do? There's too many people that just refuse to follow the protocols to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, I'm seeing more and more people kind of give up. People that were even being smart that are just like, well, we can't do this forever.
Yeah, it's a real. This is really weird. Like, people want their freedom, but it's like. It just constantly reminds me of like when you put a cone on a dog so that it doesn't injure itself. Like, I wish we could just do that to people.
Put cones around their houses. It's
also
weird.
Now they're saying it's small gatherings are, you know, the getting 3, 4, 5 people together is bad. You know,
unless you're outside,
a lot of the issues because too many people are just like, well, my friend doesn't have it and I don't have it. So if we just get together for a while, it's going to be no big deal. Not to mention hookups. Like, I guess people are probably spreading it just because they want to get laid.
Well, that's definitely something.
Yeah.
But you can't stop people from that.
Nope. People got to get it out. Baby. So, Karen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, you said you've known a lot of Dougs, and that's interesting that you say that it's maybe a generational thing, because most of the guests that we've had on this show only have like one or two Dougs in their life, and they tend to be the ones they're talking to when they're on this show. But you know, you've known a lot of Dougs?
I grew up with a Doug Oliver, for many, many years. Early on. Doug Stanhope, met Doug Mellard through you, but I'm just trying to think. I know more Dougs. I know I do. Like, it's to me not that uncommon.
I mean, name. Already that breaks the Doug record on here, I think, with just that list. And it sounds like you have a lot more.
Well, I do.
She had two and then us, Doug. So that's not really that long of a list.
Well, that's four.
I thought she named a fifth one.
Well, everyone starts with us two. We don't really need to add us into the list.
Well, I'm just saying I know you.
Yeah, we really know. We've known each other a long time.
But I have to think a little bit harder on it, I suppose. But well, who's
that's
the other?
I'm saying is it might be, you know, you might in your head think I know a lot of Dougs, and then when you really think about it, the reason you forget some of the Dougs is because Dougs are so boring. They just fall by the wayside.
The Doug I grew up with taught me about Steely Dan. All right.
Whoa.
What did you mean? He told you what that name means?
No, but I learned that later in life. No,
okay. He turned you on to them, their existence.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
Steely Dan's for your generation.
Yeah.
It's very exciting, though. That's what I'm getting at.
So, how many Karens do you think you've known, Melly Mel?
You know, actually my first crush was a Karen in first grade. That was way back when, and then obviously Karen Anderson, Karen Kilgariff, and is that it? Yeah, that might be it. I don't know a ton of Karens, I suppose.
Have you ever known a Karen? I knew a Karen that was K-A-R-Y-N.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I know a C-A-R-Y-N. But she goes by Karn.
What?
Karn.
No way. Karn?
Karn.
That's got to be the most confusing thing.
That's Karn. So close to corn.
Yeah. And I know a C-A-R-I-N, but that's not that different.
Karn?
Karen. Just spelled Karen. That's like a Swedish way to spell it or something.
Right? Karn.
Isn't Karen Babbitt spell her name like that?
Who's Karen Babbitt?
Nah, she's a comedian from 75 years ago.
Babbitt and Costello.
I knew a Karen Johnson in high school, and I've always been entertained by the knowledge that Whoopi Goldberg's real name is Karen Johnson.
Oh, whoa. That is new to me.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the name Karen like kind of strangely fallen out of favor even before this one lady made everybody, you know, talk about the name Karen. Now she was back in the news again, coincidentally, because, you know, I guess it's come out now that she made more than one call to the police about the guy in the park. And the second call was she said that he tried to physically attack her. Or something.
He seems like a real, real guy that likes to get into some fisticuffs. That guy. Have you seen his interviews?
I mean, that's the thing is, again, he's saying today, he's like, all right, already. I don't care. She screwed up and was weird, but like, there's no reason to, you know, jack her up for life.
Totally. And he's so mellow. He's like in the middle of a conversation, I'm sure he looks out the window and almost falls out of it looking at a bird. You know, he's so
excited. That just shows you, though, how colossally racist she was, that like such a mellow dude would make her say those things into her phone like she was in danger.
Oh, yeah. She turned out to be a little bit of something going on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That dog was was also like
and that poor dog. What about that last video? You see that one where the lady's carrying a dog basically by the skin of its stomach?
Ugh. Oh, no.
Yeah, because people are with their dogs and they're grabbing them like oddly to approach someone, you know?
Yikes.
It's just
terrible.
What's your dog's name? Oh, Penny. Yeah.
Penny, yeah. She got a. She
you don't
still
hear a lot
smells,
of pennies,
by the way.
She smells.
Oh, yeah. She got skunked like, what is it, 2-3 weeks ago now? Oh, she still smells.
I mean, Karen, you're a good person to ask this. Have any of your animals ever got skunked?
Yes.
And what did you do to get rid of the smell?
Chester got skunked pretty good. And he's about, you know, a pretty small dog, like 12 to 15 pounds at the most. And ever. And we did the old, I know. We didn't have tomato juice. So we put him in canned tomatoes.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Because they said to put tomato juice on him. You know, I think we learned that at the Brady Bunch or something. But
yeah, we've done 50 different concoctions.
Oh, no, I heard that you're supposed to pee on it.
Put it in the toilet. No, it worked, though.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's a thing.
Was it tomatoes all over him.
Okay, but was it a really serious skunking? Like, was it really bad?
Do you wash him first?
She's been washed 1,000 times with 1,000 different, you know, home remedies.
No, but did you do that first?
Yeah, we haven't done the tomato thing yet.
Oh, why?
Because everything we read said that was the least effective, but maybe it's not.
I thought you're supposed to do that first and don't do anything else first.
Oh, wow.
But this is my memory. Who knows?
It might be no turning back. You might have permanent skunk dog.
No, I don't.
We'll see. I'll try that pee thing.
Does Penny seem to mind it?
No, I don't think so. And the other night I was taking her. Now I take her out on a leash at the end of the night. I didn't have to do that before. But the other night, I think there was another skunk out there and she went running after it. She didn't even learn her lesson.
She likes skunks.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a revenge thing and she just doesn't realize it's going to happen again.
You're my friend.
Yeah, maybe that.
They're cute little things.
Yeah, they kind of are until that happens.
Until they show you their butthole.
And you see it happen. If you did. Was it at night?
It was at night, yes. Yeah, it was like,
it
just stopped. It just froze. It was like in slow motion. There was nothing to do. I was too far away.
Or Penny. Well, I'm telling you, try that tomato juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that you haven't tried the
I mean, Doug, you could have had a V8.
That the internet talks you out of the thing that everybody says to do, but like that's the thing about what are you supposed to do when you burn yourself?
Put ice on it as long as you can for a very long time.
But isn't butter like one that people like to say?
They said that, yeah, and it's not good.
Huh.
Exactly, like that's the thing is, and just like peeing on a jellyfish sting, that's not real.
Really?
Somehow these things
That was real.
What?
I thought that was real.
That one is not real.
Mm.
Wow. Was it just the same person that started the Richard Gere gerbil thing that did all this?
Well, that's a...
That's real.
Rumor, not a remedy. Did you try putting a gerbil inside your dog?
Not yet, but the list is growing. A lot of options here, guys.
Yeah, it might help. But yeah, the tomato juice thing, you know, I've that's what I've heard all the time. So I'm shocked that your research led you to a series of things that aren't working, but you're not trying the legendary one.
I guess so. It's just a bunch of Karens out there talking us out of it on the internet.
Well, what did you put on her?
Hydrogen peroxide.
Oh.
We got skunk shampoo.
No, it's not sounding good from the get-go. She has like very whitish blonde hair now.
I mean, she's bleached now. We tried to buy, and we even, you know, did like a professional bath. She smells a lot better. It's just very gradual. It's just like every day it's a little bit less, but.
Oh, that's probably just because you're going nose blind to it.
Yeah, true. I'm just used to her smelling like crap.
Yeah, you invite somebody over someday and they're going to be like, woof.
Yeah.
She looks cute.
Yeah, she looks fine.
So Karen, what's you were talking about, you know, this is the first time you've been on this show, so maybe people don't know you and our relationship from Dining with Doug and Karen. So we've been, you know, had been doing for like 7 years before restaurants became illegal. Yeah. And on that show, we talked a lot about how you're always writing on different TV shows and producing TV shows. So you just finished with The Soup on E.
Right. And we're hoping that we'll have another run of it. What's that? What's that? Jade Catapretta, who's been on Dining with Doug and Karen, I'm sure, and many of your shows. She was just on one of your shows.
She was on this show because, you know, we talked to her about being named Jade and how that's a pretty unusual.
That's a good name, though.
Yeah, it's good, unusual. Not like Karen, which is terrible.
No, it's just not a
terrible name.
It's not good. It was, we started to really get it. You know how, you know, these shows, like, it was 18 episodes, but it's once a week only. And, you know, you start to really get the hang of it and things. People start watching. They stop talking about how they wish Joel McHale was on. That happened, which was really nice. Because that was a constant thing at the beginning. And that just ended, you know, completely ended a month ago. And then you're done. And after you just got everything kind of wired, you know. So it's a bummer. And we just all loved each other. It's one of those things. It was a real love fest, real fun. And starting to get some really fun stuff on the show, some really fun like sketches and stuff like that. And hopefully, you know, they haven't canceled it. So we're on a break and maybe it'll come back. You know, it was really fun.
But there's no, no determined amount of time because like there's not even television seasons anymore to rely on. Like
that has a lot to do with it. Yeah.
Like when's it going to, you know, when are they going to decide they need that program back?
But you get to learn about lots of fun shows. Like I hadn't heard about the Alaskan Bush People show and I love it now.
What is that?
Have you seen it?
Uh-uh.
They're just insane. But they live in the bush. It's on TLC. No, it's on Discovery.
It, like the bush is in like you hear Australian jungle or not jungle, desert, I guess. Kind of like that, but Alaskan?
Yeah, they're out there. They're Alaskan bush people. And they just sort of live in the forest. And their names are like Bird, Rain. They all have weird names except for Gabe has a normal name. And yeah, like he'll fight an ostrich in one episode. And Bird is the weirdest. She eats sticks of butter. She makes rat slippers out of pack rats. I don't know.
Wait, also there are ostriches in Alaska?
Well, that's what we have. Yeah, good point. We feel like that those babies were brought in illegally. We don't know how those got there. They have an ostrich farm. His parents do.
So that's what you're doing now that you're out of work is you're just making up TV shows?
I'm telling you.
What's it called?
Alaskan Bush People.
Okay. The way you said it, you're like, oh, that Alaskan Bush People show. That just sounds like you're describing it, not saying the title.
No. It's called the Alaskan Bush People. And it's been on for a long time. Seven years.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not, you know, I don't discover too many shows on the Discover Network because I'm just not I don't lean that way, you know. I'm more like the Game Show Network kind of person.
We do a lot of that too,
you know. I'd rather find out what I know rather than try to learn anything new.
What is your favorite show on the, do you have a fave
on Game Show Network?
It's
Match Game all the way. I watch Match Game for hours at a time. It brings me so much happiness because it's, you know, it's mostly from the 70s.
Yeah.
And so it just brings me back to like, if I was homesick from school, that I'd get to watch Match Game.
I love it. Charles Nelson Reilly.
And he was great. And Brett Summers was great. And Richard Dawson, you know, it's just very entertaining. It's, you know, and they were 70s sexy about everything. So like some stuff is like shocking how much they got away with. And then in other cases, it's amazing how, you know, prudish they can be. It's pretty hilarious. You know, like the contestants, like they'll set them up to say, you know, boobs or having sex, but then they'll just get so shy and timid. And then they'll just say some dumb answer that's not funny at all. And doesn't even fit just because they don't want to say what they think is something naughty on television.
But the rest of it's just so lascivious and gross. they don't
weird.
Realize
it's it. Really weird. Like the amount of like men just kiss women without asking a lot.
Yeah. Shows like that. Namely the host.
Oh yeah. He's really like, and that's the other thing is like, sometimes there'll even be a question. It's like, you know, Morty the molester. You know? Like, what?
That's so true. That is one.
Yeah, they just throw around some expressions like it was just so casual and funny. But we got to go to a brief commercial break. And then when we come back, this was such a hit last week. I did 10 questions with Doug Mellard last week. So this week is going to be 5 questions with Doug Mellard and Karen Anderson. And, you know, not terribly difficult questions, but, you know, some you might want to think on for a second before answering, or say, I'd rather not answer that, Doug. But last week, Melly Mel was game for all of the questions. So we'll do that right after this.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back.
Hello.
Yeah, that's we're all three of us are back for more Wide World of Doug's. I wonder if we should like come up with some sort of like a little musical sting, you know, when coming back from commercial.
I like your theme song. It sounds like, did X do that? Who did it? Who's good?
It sounded like X.
Kinda.
Like the punk band?
Yeah.
Maxine Cervenka?
It had a little bit of punk to it, didn't it? Am I
John
wrong?
John Doe, speaking of interesting names.
John Doe.
That's not his real name, right?
Guy?
No, I don't believe so. There's no way.
His real name's Doug. Doug Doe.
Oh my God. That'd be a great name. Doug Doe.
Oh Lord.
That sounds like a Lord of the Rings character. Doug Duggins.
Did you guys have, I know we're going to play a game, but did you have friends, your good friends or friends that you hung out with named Doug when you were young?
I was named after two Dougs, but I didn't hang out with any Dougs.
Yeah, and I didn't.
I was Douglas.
I guess the only real person I, you know, as far as friends, and I was fairly young, was Karen Kilgariff, that we became known as. When we worked on Ellen's, we were called the Karens. Actually, we've been called the Karens on a few different shows. But yeah, and a lot of times we'll call each other and it'll be like, hi, Karen, it's Karen. We like to say, hi, Karen, it's Karen, quite a bit.
Yeah, we don't do that. We don't, we avoid calling each other Doug.
It's too confusing. I get lost in my own head.
All right. I've prepared 5 questions. And like I said before the break, if you don't feel like answering them, it's fine. Or if I don't know. Sometimes, like, I know these kinds of questions. Sometimes I don't have an opinion one way or the other, so I don't go in for them that much. But
so these are just talky questions. It's not no one buzzes in first or anything.
Oh yeah, no. It's just you know, treat it like a 4-way intersection and just proceed with caution. I guess we could decide who's going to answer first each time, but I figured it'd be more like if one of you is anxious to answer, go ahead.
We're civil.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. First question is, you both are living with someone that you're married to. Doug's wife's name is Flynn and Karen's husband's name is Blake. And
Flynn and Blake would go good together. Those are nice names.
You answered the question.
This isn't Match Game. Or a Newlywed Game. So you're in quarantine with your significant other, but you've also, you know, been together for a while. So the question is there a movie that you've grown to love simply because your spouse is into it?
We're mostly on the same page with a lot of movies, but there are some movies that I've seen that I don't think I would have seen had it not been for, if that counts, like the movie Beginners. I don't know if you've seen that.
With David Bowie?
That's the one Christopher Plummer won Best Supporting Actor for that.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It somehow got by me and it's one of her favorite movies. And now I'm pretty obsessed as well. That's a great film.
And yeah, the cat talks.
Yeah. Or the dog. Was it a dog?
Somebody, little but it's
Scottish
subtitles,
Terrier.
Right?
Yeah.
Subtitles.
Yeah.
That was a very sweet movie.
Yeah. But I don't think there's anything that. I think it's just like that where it's, you know, I wouldn't have seen that otherwise, but now I love it. So.
We're similar, the same page, but with TV shows, he will love something that I won't really like. Like, this could be bad, you know, for people. I don't know. The Good Place. He loves The Good Place. I just couldn't get into it. I don't know why. But then when I sit down and start watching it with him, I really like it.
I think he likes it more than you because he's looking forward to dying.
That's nice.
Well, no, but with The Good Place, I could see where the writing is amazing, that it's, you know, it's very smart comedy, you know, it's very thoughtful. And it's also, you know, from season to season, there's always these big twists and turns that happen. And everybody says that the show's stuck the landing. But I've never been able to get into it because my head just doesn't want to sit around thinking about the things they get into on that show.
I'm the same way.
I can't care about afterlife. I don't care about somebody's idea of afterlife when nobody knows what it is or, you know.
That's exactly the way I feel. I mean, I can't go there. And it's
and then the end of each season is like, oh, guess what? We were actually in hell the whole time or whatever. You know, there's a twist at the end of each season. It's just like, oh, so much thought is being put into, I just want jokes. I just want to have some laughs.
Yeah. But when I do watch it with him, when I'll sit down and he'll, you know, I'll say, all right. And it's like, I get it. It's really good. It's just, I can't, obviously I'm, you know, everyone knows it's good. It's like done very well.
I got pretty into it the first season, but then I just kind of trailed off. Like it kind of felt like it got a little too far away from the original plot or whatever. But
well, he was in all the way, just so mad when it was over. Yeah.
I could kind of see both ways. I really like enjoyed it at first, but I also, if you don't buy into that world right away, like it's done, you know, and I could see that being a difficult thing to do.
The other thing with it was the colors. They were just too pastel-y bright for me. And I, it was, but anyways, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's one of the things that.
Yeah. I had trouble with it. I really did. I struggled with it, even though I knew it was good. And I can't, Ted Danson and Kristen Bell are like, they're both amazing to me, you know?
And then I've jumped on board with shows that he likes that I just didn't think I liked, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Now I love it. I just love that show. I've watched all, you know, I went back and watched the beginning ones.
Well, you know, that show is, written by Tony Kameen's
Wow. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, they're a dear friend. But even so, before he was watching before Carol jumped on it. But now that she has, of course, it's Andy's Rodrigo, as you would say, from my son's favorite show. And he's got lots of swag from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, so he's very excited. He's a little child.
I had the chance to, you know, I got the call that they wanted me to audition for a role, a guest role on the show. And I had plans, out of town plans to go to a film festival. And, you know, it just didn't seem right to, you know, cancel or rearrange one thing on the off chance that I would do well at the audition. So I, you know, didn't do it. And then, but I did keep track of what episode it was. And then I recently looked it up on Hulu and watched it. And I know exactly which part it was because, you know, there were no other like really guest roles in the episode. And the person who played the part was, Michael McDonald from used to be on Mad TV and stuff.
Oh yeah,
and, I love him. And he did a great job. And I, you know, it was just one of those things where it was very satisfying for me to see that I did the right thing because, you know, he would have easily gotten the part over. It wasn't the kind of thing where, you know, sometimes I'll watch something and I'll go, oh, I could have maybe actually gotten that, you know. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it was like, it was just a relief that somebody else did it and it wasn't really a fit for me anyway.
Yeah. He's great, but do, you're good too. I mean, you never know.
I do love that show though.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah. But I did know because I just know.
You could just feel it, you know.
He brought to the role, like for starters, he's taller than, you know, he's Andre Brower size. It has to be somebody that go head to head with Andre Brower. And I don't feel like I would be cast as that, you know. But what were we talking about? Oh, you guys answered my question. That's what we were talking about. That was those very, very good, thoughtful answers. Moving on to question number two. There's so many Oreo flavors out there in the world. It's crazy. I saw Questlove on his Instagram. He showed the spam Oreos and said that those.
What?
Yeah, he called them violence. but there's also hot chicken wing Oreos.
When did this happen?
Wasabi Oreos. And my question is, could you each name a flavor of Oreo, an outlandish flavor of Oreo that you would never eat?
Well, I didn't know this was a thing. I didn't know there was this explosion of horrible flavor.
Do you know that about, like, say, Kit Kat bars?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, like, internationally, you'll see some of that. Is that what this is? Or, okay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know how many of these are popular in the United States, but apparently there's dozens of Oreo flavors. The question is, what would you, not even on a dare, eat if it was inside an Oreo?
Spam, for sure. That is disgusting.
Really?
I hate
that. Grossed out by it, that you wouldn't just for the heck of it be like, let's see what a spam Oreo tastes like.
There's something about spam to begin with is so gross, and then spam mixed with like chocolate, like that's disgusting, and the texture. I don't know. Maybe there's some curiosity, but feels like that could be some vomit afterwards. You know what I mean? Like that's terrible. I don't like that. This makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know how much they engineer the, like, how much the cookie part tastes like spam. You know, in a flavored Oreo, is the outside just tastes like a normal Oreo and the weird flavor is just instead of the cream filling?
Ugh.
I don't even know where you're getting this. I'm looking it up. I don't see spam.
Yeah, because, you know, I got some peanut butter Oreos recently, and so the cream is just peanut butter, so I guess it'd be spam cream. That sounds even more disgusting.
Well, that's just terrible. I mean, they're all bad to me.
I mean, would you try a wasabi one, Karen? You like things that are spicy?
I would. It's just a sweetened wasabi. I don't know, Maybe I'm just like, I want my Oreo to taste like an Oreo, but yeah. Like, I, you know, other than that, it's not an Oreo. Like here's one, Rice Krispie treats. Well, whoopee. It's like, that's a Rice Krispie treat then.
Well, but how do you know without trying it?
Hmm.
How much was it still taste? You know what I mean? Is it taste like an Oreo? Is there hints of both flavors?
Well, I'll tell you what I won't like. I'd try it, but, I don't like when they put strawberry and stuff like that. It just tastes terrible to me. It doesn't taste right. It's not real. It's not
too
good.
Too fake.
Yeah.
You know, some people are against fake news. You're against fake chews.
Yeah, they do have, God, they have a lot. It's like doing the whole thing with Lay's potato chips.
Be with us, Karen. Don't be looking at the internet. You can do that for 23 hours.
I already did. I'm done. No, it's like doing the Lay's potato chips thing where they have like 75,000 weird flavors of that. And you go, oh, God, it's just.
Oh, the dill pickle Lay's potato chips, though. I love them.
I love dill pickles. I can't believe I don't like those. And I don't. It's just too much. I think it's because when I was a kid, I loved dill pickles so much that I froze the juice to make popsicles out of them.
Oh my God.
And I forgot about them. And so then when I ate them, they kind of had the freezer burn on them a little bit.
Oh.
And I still ate them and it destroyed me with, except for pickles, other pickly tastes.
Wow.
Just ruined me.
Oh, that's, maybe I did that and didn't know it because I don't like anything pickly.
Well, they have like dill pickle, like juice, lots of things.
Yeah.
People like it.
No, people are into it. And like the pickle back where you drink some pickle juice after drinking something else.
It's good for you.
I didn't know about that shot until I was at the Orlando Improv last summer. You remember live comedy all the time? And somebody just delivered that to me after the show. And I was like, what is this now? And if you've never heard of it, it's such a shock to just have someone deliver that to you and say, we're going to do this. And I felt obligated. So I took this shot of, what is it, whiskey and then pickle juice?
I guess so.
It was pretty nasty. But not honestly, not as bad as I thought.
I wonder why they do it for flavor or do they do it for because dill pickle has an enzyme in it with the vinegar and the dill and all this that soothes your stomach.
Oh, maybe
pregnant women crave it. So I'm wondering if it's like after you have something that's going to probably screw with your stomach a little bit.
Oh, maybe a little bit of both. Cause yeah, it definitely cancels out the sting of the shot a little bit, but then I don't know. It's just as bad to have a shot of pickle juice though, to me.
Yeah, I got somebody sent me recently a whole little jar of pickle juice for that purpose, and I have not partaken of it.
Yeah,
yeah, thanks. It's
pretty rough.
Yeah. All right. Question number three. Do you have time for two more questions?
I don't feel comfortable.
I have all day. I can't. I love it. I got up at 11:30 today and yesterday. I'm up for anything.
What about you, Melly Mel?
I don't feel comfortable answering that question, so let's move on to four.
Okay. Question number four. What commercial jingles are permanently in your head?
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Subway, $5 foot long.
$5 foot long.
There it is.
Oh, O'Reilly. Auto shop.
Oh no.
Auto parts.
Oh.
Auto shop.
Well, I sing everything wrong, so yeah, I could sing. That's a goodie.
What else you got?
Oh, geez.
I mean, there's a ton of them in there. Like, obviously, you know them when you hear them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like, which ones are just in there? Like, you just can access them.
The Like a Good Neighbor, that's another one. Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is there. I feel like there's another insurance commercial that.
Well, there's We Are Farmers.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a.
Yeah.
None's coming to me, but except for O'Reilly.
Auto shop.
Because I think it was, I had a joke when I did stand, you know, the last time I did stand up, which was like, I don't know, 5 years ago. And it was, boy, those of you, you know, if you know me, you know I love cars. In fact, when I have sex, I go, oh, oh, oh.
If you know me, you know this about me.
You know I love cars. I'm going to get this joke out if it's the last thing I do.
The one that I can't ever shake is Stanley Steamer makes your home cleaner.
That's a sweet one.
Yeah, but I used to think it was, or maybe they did change it recently, because I think Stanley Steamer does more than just carpets. Because I swear it used to be Stanley Steamer makes carpets cleaner. And now it's your home cleaner instead.
Whenever I think of Stanley Steamer, whenever that comes on, I always think of someone taking a dump.
Yeah, no, it is like so funny how that's, you know, not unlike the gerbil rumor mentioned earlier. Like Stanley Steamer is a company that is just sticking with that name in spite of the fact that a lot of people have that association because of the Cleveland Steamer.
Like, oh, that's, I don't even know where I got it from. Yeah, that's what it's from. The Cleveland Steamer
is shitting on someone.
So. Yeah, that's exactly what I had no idea until you just told me why I think that.
Yeah, because I'm sure it's Stanley L. Cleveland came up with the Stanley Steamer. The Cleveland Steamer.
I knew it was dirty. I didn't. I couldn't think of why. This has been wonderful.
Oh yeah, you're really learning some stuff today about yourself.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Any other ones? Can you think of any other ones? What about phone numbers in a song? What phone numbers do you know because it's a song?
The classic, 8-5-0-12-2-1.
Oh my god. Oh, wait, what? Oh yeah.
6-7-5-3-0-9.
Thank you.
Yeah. You memorized it, but just different numbers. You just memorized the cadence.
Is there more?
What?
There's more with song with numbers song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's I'm talking, you know, lots of jingles have the phone number to call.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like.
I know there are. I'm having a hard time thinking of any.
What's the phone number before Empire?
1-800.
1-888-3500. Empire, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they're
bump, 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 bump.
They really get the number stuck in your head sometimes. And then, like, if you need to call a plumber or something, then you have the number right there.
Oh, Roto-Rooter, that's our name. Fighting drains is our game.
We'll flush your troubles down the drain.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But you have to admit, I almost had you.
No, I knew you were saying that.
I'm not good at remembering any lyrics to anything.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Very bad.
Me, that stuff like gets in you and sticks. But then also, you know, there's that whole phenomenon of people remembering things wrong. You know, like some of the most famous movie quotes of all times are they're off a little bit because people just people started repeating it wrong, and then the wrong version became the way everybody says it.
My wife, she's dead. I say it all the time. It's not even in the film. That's exactly how I remember it. My wife, she's dead. It's not it.
There's a new one coming out, you know.
I know.
Whoa.
I don't know how he could go around being Borat and have people not go, hey, this is, you know, you're pretending to be this guy again.
I'm pretty sure that's the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie theater.
That first Borat movie was pretty damn funny. Okay, question number 5. What are you going to do if Trump somehow remains president of the United States?
Oh, God.
Oh.
I mean, is there any kind of action plan or?
I don't know. Blake sent me a house in Canada we could get about 2 weeks ago.
He was just like, hey, honey, here's a house we could move to if we needed to.
It's out of the blue. I think it was like after the debate, maybe.
How would you do it? Would you have to get like work visas or something?
Well, I actually looked into it. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, you can. I just was curious, you know.
Yeah, like I am too. That's why I'm asking you about it.
Yeah, you have to live there for a certain amount of time, and show that you haven't left the country. So, and I think this is just very briefly, like looking into this at 2 o'clock in the morning. But there's certain rules that you have to do, like something like that. You have to be in Canada for a certain amount of time working on and you get a visa.
Right.
You can't buy property for quite a while.
You can't just move there without a job and then live there for a while and start saying, hey, I want to be a resident.
No, it's not as hard as some places.
You're still just visiting Canada at that point.
That's right. But
like, so
you can't be there for very long. No,
you'd have to get a job first.
Yes. And there's things where they can help you get jobs too. And there's certain jobs that you can get that move things along faster, which I can't remember what those are, but there are very clear, very easy rules to follow if you did want to do that, or it's very doable.
I will say I've heard so many people looking into this.
The hardest thing is having to stay there for however long it was. And I don't want to maybe say the wrong thing, but however long you have to stay there without leaving, you know?
Oh, wow.
You can't go on vacations from there.
Or see your family, basically, back in the States. Yeah. They can come see you.
We can't do that now anyway. So
I'm going, I just got tested to go see my parents, cause I just got done. So with work, so I'm going to go up there for a week, but yeah, you get tested first. And then, you know, cause my dad had heart surgery and you can't be around, you know, you can't take any chances. So, but then Andy, the little one, got tested yesterday for the first time and he did not like it. His eyes basically popped out of his head. And then I said, it didn't hurt, you know? And he goes, no, but it was shocking. I go, well, were you going to cry? And he goes, well, a single tear did roll down my cheek.
And that's from having the thing shoved up your nose?
Yeah, just up to the top there. Like I've had it go through my nose and down to my throat. Yeah. And that's shocking. And they both nostrils, by the way. Why? I've had it a few times.
Wait, so they do a more severe version of it for you than for other people?
No, they did this the first time. The first time I did it was in the summer. Like in June, and they to visit also, and they put it. So she goes, just take your mask off and tilt your head back. And then before I knew it, she had shoved a thing down up my nose and down my throat. And then she did the other one, and it was pretty intense. Then the next one I did was what was the next? Well, the next one was just up into the nose and twirled around. Oh, and then the other one was down the throat, and they just sort of choke you for 30 seconds.
Yeesh. This all sounds very unpleasant. And then you find out that you don't have COVID in that exact moment. And then 10 seconds later, you can get it.
Well, you can.
Yeah. You're eligible to get it immediately. Like just because you don't have it doesn't mean you can't just get it.
You have to be super, super precautious, very quarantine-y.
You know?
You got to really, really go, just completely. So for instance, when we drive up, because we drive up is the safest way. You wear gloves for like get gas once, bring your own food. And then actually, if you stop at like a rest stop bathrooms, the protocol is so clean right now. And all you do is just go in there, don't touch anything.
Yeah.
And then wash really good and get back in the car and scrub up again. And it's, you know, it's pretty safe. There's not a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
Very, very, you know, just like you'd barely see anyone.
Yeah. It's definitely like less people out and about. So it's kind of easy to, it's the best you can do.
I don't think.
The best you can do is not leave your home at all.
Right.
That's the best. But yeah, if you got to go out, you got to try to take all the precautions.
We're pretty precautious-y.
Precautious-y.
It's still one household visiting another household that's part of the issue. That's what people are doing. And that's why it's still not going to go away.
My sister thinks she's waiting for her results right now. And they see, we see these people and these people, but they are really careful. And I'm like, yeah, but you know.
Yeah. Like, how do you know? I mean.
Well, yeah, there are also a lot of people that say they're careful and you know that they're not. Like, I think a lot of people have different rules in their head. And that's kind of part of the problem of all this.
Yeah, absolutely. And they get to decide their own rules. They get to be their own doctor and be like, well, I read this, so this is what I'm going to do.
We have a family, a doctor in the family, and I go with what she says.
And there you go.
I do what she says. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good approach.
And she says we can do anything. So
she said, go outside. Do you don't need a mask? You know, I was like, all right.
Hit the bars. It's fine. Yeah.
Back to that Trump.
Oh, I was just going to say that people that take all the precautions can, you know, have still gotten it. You know, it's not like you can't absolutely be, you know, 100% not going to get it. But also, though, the amount you get, the load you get, so to speak, it's a disgusting word.
The spam cream you get.
The viral load you get, it can be varying sizes. So that also determines, like, there's different, you know, some people get it worse than others. And so people that are getting a lighter version of it are also getting, you know, confusing the issue by saying, oh, it wasn't bad for me. Well, you know, it's different for everybody.
Right.
Anyway, what were you gonna say, Karen? Look at the people
that have died from it. That wasn't as good for them as it was for you. But just Trump, if he wins. I saw today that Rupert Murdoch said that he thinks Biden's going to win by a landslide.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, you know, that's the talking point right now, is that it's, you know, looking good, but it's still, you know.
I'll believe it when I see it.
It's going to be a very, very tricky transition. Because yes. the current president's going to say that that there was cheating.
Oh yeah, and it's not like, you know, even if, you know, he doesn't stand down and he's kicked out or whatever, and he's finally separated, he's never going to shut up about it. We've never had that happen where we have an ex-president that just won't shut up. You know, this is all unprecedented.
Yeah, it's very, very strange to
stand down and stand by.
Be this person who's just alive and won't shut the fuck up about, you know, being cheated out of the presidency. And then also, you know, he'll still have lots of people who support him and wish he was still president. It's very strange times, but
I'm going to move in with Karen and Blake.
All right.
In Canada. Sure,
but first give that penny a nice scrubbing.
Yeah. We'll get the tomatoes going.
You're welcome to, when our back place is done, you're welcome to live there.
Perfect.
So sometime in early 2022.
That's it. That's my five questions. You got them all right, as it turns out.
Oh. All right.
Congrats, yeah. Doug.
And
you too. So
Karen Anderson, you're just chilling till some other job comes along.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, someone called me yesterday for a job, but I don't know if it's for me.
Why do you say that?
Well, so Taraji P. Henson is having having a talk show, a Facebook talk show about mental health, but they wanted me to maybe lighten it, just put some lightness to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I must have said like three times, if you don't want a job, just do what I did, which was, are you sure you want me? Because I don't know about that. Like, I don't know anything about it. Yeah, I don't have to know anything, but it's just like, you know, we just need you to just sort of look over the script and just sort of make it like, you know, good. And I was like, okay, but I just want to, you know, really say I don't know a lot about that, you know. So anyways, they haven't called me back yet, but they sound like they might. I don't know. It would be a shortish job, you know.
All right.
Like a month and a half or something. But I don't know if I'll have it or not. But I like her.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah. I like her.
She probably would be very excited to have a Karen on her team.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, but it's just funny that when people ask you to do something, you're just like, have you seen my resume, right? It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, but you know, they still need somebody to sort of, you know, be in charge of it and shape it. Try to get some humor in there. I'm trying to think of what would be funny about Taraji P. Henson talking about mental health.
That's the problem. And of course, I'll think of the worst things, you know, the most.
Yeah, exactly.
But If they don't call me, I will not be upset because I'm ready for a little break. You know.
Yeah. No. You should just chill for a while.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Melly Mel, Doug Mellard. Anything to plug?
Just you can go to my website dougmellard.com and buy some spam cream T-shirts. They're pretty wild. Just find me on the social at Doug Mellard, M-E-L-L-A-R-D. I'll just say that for now.
I really thought you had like some sort of spam cream shirts because
it's a good idea.
You already have vote for burrito shirts.
Yeah, I do have those. People seem to dig them. There's still a few left if you want those.
Would you vote for burrito if you could, Karen?
Of course I would.
President Burrito.
I just watched a video yesterday of them cutting open different burritos. Which one would you like? I watched all of them.
I'm going to do another stand-up show on rushtix.com. It's on sale now. $10 gets you in and everybody else you could crowd around your device. It's on Saturday, November 7th. So we'll all need maybe a little humor and comfort on that particular weekend. November 7th, 420, rushtix.com. And I was thinking, Doug Mellard, would you like to do a set on that show?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a couple opening acts. So you heard it here, folks. Doug Mellard's going to be there.
Thanks, dude.
And
that sounds fun.
Thanks for joining us here, Karen.
So nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you
both.
Yeah, it was fun. Do you have, we have to think of like some sort of Doug pun here at the end
I Doug you guys a lot.
Oh. How about, yeah, Karen digs Dougs.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. As always, Karen digs Dougs.
Got it.